Chapter 34. That virtues are to be gained by degrees, by exercising ourselves in their gradual formation, and that our attention must first be given to one step and then to another. Although the true soldier of Christ, who aspires to the height of perfection, should not assign limits to his progress, still there are some forms of spiritual fervor which need to be checked with a certain discretion, lest, being ardently embraced at first, they should be soon exhausted, and thus desert us in the middle of our course. Therefore, besides what has been said about moderation in external exercises, we must also learn that even interior virtues had better be acquired by degrees and step by step, for in this way, that which is small soon becomes great and abiding. Thus, for example, we should not as a rule practice patience in the high degree, which consists in rejoicing in afflictions and desiring them, before we have passed through the lower degrees of the virtue. Neither do I advise you to endeavor to give your attention to all the virtues at once, but to one only, and afterwards to others. For thus the habit of virtue is more easily and firmly rooted in the soul. If you are striving to acquire one particular virtue, you remember it more readily on all occasions. Your mind, too, is sharpened by the discovery of new ways and motives for cultivating it, and the will bends itself more easily and earnestly in the pursuit of it than if it were occupied with many virtues at once. And with this uniform exercise, the acts which concern one single virtue are performed with less fatigue, in consequence of their resemblance to one another. The performance of one act facilitates the performance of the next, which is like unto it, and by this common likeness they make a deeper impression on us, the seed of the heart being already prepared and disposed for receiving those which are newly produced, having already made room for similar acts before. These reasons have the greater force, as it is quite certain that everyone who practices himself in one virtue at the same time learns the exercise of the rest, and thus through the inseparable bond which exists between them, when one virtue grows, the rest increase with it, as rays proceeding from one and the same divine light. Chapter 35. Of the means by which virtues are acquired, and of the way we should use them, allowing some space of time to one virtue only. For the pursuit of virtues, besides all that has been said above, we need a large and generous mind, a will neither unstable nor remiss, but resolute and strong, with a certain persuasion that many hindrances and trials have to be overcome. There are, moreover, particular inclinations and affections which we may gain by frequently considering how pleasing they are to God, how noble and excellent in themselves, and how profitable and necessary for us, for from them all perfection has its origin and end. Each morning, then, make a steadfast resolve to exercise yourself in them during the day, according to the events which are likely to happen during the day, and often, as it passes, examine yourself in order to see whether you have kept your resolution or not, and renew it with fresh earnestness, and this should be done especially with regard to the particular virtue which we are endeavoring to acquire. Let the examples of the saints, and our meditations and prayers on the life and passion of Christ, so needful in every spiritual exercise, be all applied principally to the virtue which we have made it our task to practice. Let the same be done on all occasions, as we shall presently explain more particularly, however different they may be from one another. Let us take pains to accustom ourselves to interior and exterior acts of virtue, that we may be enabled to perform them with the same facility and readiness as we did those which accorded with our natural will. And, as we have said elsewhere, the more these acts are contrary to the natural will, the more quickly will they produce the good habit in the soul. The sacred words of the divine scriptures, uttered by the voice, or at least with the mind, and selected according to the occasion, have a wonderful power to aid us in this exercise. We ought therefore to keep such texts in readiness as bear upon the virtue we are practicing, and let them be repeated during the day, especially whenever the opposite passion begins to assert itself. Thus, for example, if we are trying to gain patience, we can use the following words, or others like them. My children, suffer patiently the wrath that has come upon you from God. Baruch 10:25. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Psalm 9:18. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 16:32. In your patience possess ye your souls. Luke 21:19. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. For the same purpose, we may say the following or some similar short prayers. When, O my God, shall this heart of mine be armed with the shield of patience? When, to content my Lord, shall I be able to endure every trial with an undisturbed mind? O sufferings most precious, which make me like my Lord Jesus, enduring the passion for me. O only life of my soul, will it ever come to pass that I could live in contentment amidst a thousand torments for thy glory? Happy should I be if in the midst of the furnace of affliction I could still burn with the desire of enduring greater things. We should use these short prayers or others like them, which help towards the attainment of virtues and are calculated to cherish the spirit of devotion. These short prayers are called ejaculations because they are shot like darts or arrows towards heaven. They have a great effect upon us, stirring us to virtue, and penetrate even to the heart of God, if they have, so to speak, these two things: one, a true knowledge that God is pleased with such spiritual exercises; the other, a true and ardent desire after holiness, with the sole end of pleasing His divine majesty.